Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history of this great country made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see a dire need to believe in something greater than all the things.
We greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We apologize for the tardiness. We had a personal issue that came up right at the time of coming on air. I want to ask if my guests will press 1, because I don't see your phone number in the queue, the number that we spoke on. You may have come on while I was attending to personal matter. And it may be possible that our guests will be having a problem joining us. Talked with him earlier today, and he was a bit under the weather. He was coughing and going on, and I pray that God give him strength to deal with. You know, we all get under the weather. Most of us get under the weather from time to time. I'm having a little issue with my voice over the last couple of days. But my guest is Patrick Lumumba, Chief Organizing Facilitator of the Mississippi Black Liberation Movement, also the head of the Elmer Jerome Pratt Gun Club. And he's a community organizer for the freeing of African Americans under the restrictions, social manipulators' restrictions. You know, we have leaders in our social life. Most of them we really don't know. They have influence over media and other aspects of the society, the social life. And we don't know their names, but we know their influence, you know, in terms of the menu of things that they have for everyday people, black folks, but they have a menu for all people. And they keep our attention with the menu that, or the most of our attention with the menu that they put forward. It's kind of like the social environment has become a pharaoh of a type in our lives, using powerful psychological manipulation of our time and interest. So thank you for joining us on Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we're always pleased when you, as an audience, join us. And if our guest is unable to show up, then we'll just let you know right now. We'll just go to open mic and ask you what you have to share with the audience. There are some things that I've been paying attention to, and I think that I'll go to one of those things that got my attention right now. We had a guest, Ronald Shaheed, join us several weeks ago. And it just so happened he wasn't feeling too well, but he was able to come on air. And he said he was looking forward to coming back and joining us. And I'm going to be scheduling him for a guest appearance in the very near future. we have been enjoying the recurring guest, our sister and host of Keeping It Real, Lou Princess Aziz. And we have been enjoying her unpacking for us the focus on the inner life, and with a particular focus on the African American community and how the structural impact of living in America as African Americans. And I want to share with you, maybe I should go back. I was sent a lecture from time to time. Imam Ronald Shaheed shares some of the lectures that he has compiled as a work that he has accepted, a mission or an assignment that he has accepted. And that is sharing the language and logic of Imam Warathi Muhammad with us. And let me take another look. Okay, I don't see our guest, Patrick Lumumba, in the queue. If you are there, press 1 so that I can press 1 on your phone so I can identify you. And and I ask your pardon for my voice. It seems like I challenge of dealing with my voice kind of diminishing. And what I want to share with you, and I'm allowing you time to think of what you would like to contribute to tonight's program. Again, it's open mic. But this is from a lecture dealing with leadership after Imam W.D. Muhammad that was sent to me by Ronald B. Shaheed, publisher of many, many books of language and logic, musings and thoughts, private thoughts that Imam Muhammad shared with Ronald B. Shaheed and two other brothers, brother Morocco and brother Imam Abdul Ghani. I'm going to start here. Imam Muhammad says, "Now, dear beloved Muslims, we are here in the community of Al-Islam. We are with the Quran. We know the Quran is our authority. There's no authority above it for Muslims. We know Muhammad is the one to demonstrate that authority to us, how we live that in our lives and the life of the society. In our relationship with each other and with non-Muslims, we know that Prophet Muhammad said, quote, I leave you with two authorities. For as long as you hold to them and do not deviate, you will not go astray. And he named them. They are the Quran and my own demonstration as to how that book is to be lived. So that's the criteria. That's the measure in terms of us looking at Muslim behavior. You know, we don't judge the religion by the behavior of Muslims. We judge the behavior of Muslims by the standards that I just mentioned. Continuing, I'm going to check my screen again. Okay. Continuing, we have that. But if we do not study the Quran, if we do not read it and become familiar with it, if we do not study the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, and become familiar with the events in his life, with his personality, with its principles, his spirit, his temperament, his wisdom, if we do not get acquainted with that, somebody can come behind me and can take you into something that will be as foreign to the past the old was, that is the Nation of Islam, speaking of. And you will start, pardon me, and you will still be calling yourself Muslim, but you do not know what it is, what is its true content. Now, dear audience, I submit to you that that has become an issue for the Muslim world. You know, we are horrified. I've mentioned this before. We're horrified when we, during Ramadan, we hear of two Muslims groups fighting against one another and killing one another and innocent during the month of Ramadan in the Sudan. We hear, and with the, you know, the environment, the social environment is still vibrating from the traumatic things of innocent lives of old people, women and children being killed as a response to individuals who identify themselves as Muslims and identify themselves as leaders over the Palestinian people, kidnapping individuals and killing non-combatants, those who are not armed to fight or to resist them with similar force. So this is in the environment right now. But I was reflecting on what's going on in our environment, and we pray Almighty God not only cover the innocents with his mercy and his protection, but we're told in Al-Islam that when innocent life is taken, they go to the reward of the life hereafter, that there is a life after this life. And those who innocently murdered, they have that gift of going straightway to the life hereafter. But there are innocents being killed. We mentioned the Sudan. But there are innocents being killed in other parts of Africa. There are innocents that are being killed on the streets of America. So we see the gun violence here in America where innocent life is being taken. And we pray that Almighty God remove the violence, the gun violence that we are observing. And these are very trying and difficult times, but at the same time, the light of truth being made brighter and brighter. Okay, I look like I see, yes, 662. Is this
yes,
Patrick?
Yes,
oh,
it
wonderful,
is.
Wonderful. A different number. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yes,
I'm glad that you joined us, dear listeners. We want to introduce you to the chief organizer and facilitator of Mississippi Black Liberation Movement, and the head of the Elmer Jerome Pratt Gun Club, Patrick Lumumba, and we I would say affectionately and with regard, we call each other Baba. And when I found out what Baba meant when I was raising my boys, I would call them Baba and let them know that Baba is in African language means leader. And we welcome you, community leader, chief organizer, facilitator, Patrick Lumumba. Welcome, Baba.
Thank you, Baba. Always a pleasure and an honor to be a part of your show. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be a part of a conversation with you, Baba Hameen. You have become an elder to me and a teacher. You know, and a guide, and I was just sitting here listening as I was struggling to get onto the show for some reason. I was just listening to the calm assertiveness of your voice and the demeanor and aura of a great teacher and guide. So I'm honored.
I thank you for that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm honored. Thank you, Bob.
I love your spirit, your focus on helping the black community achieve self-determination and overcoming the oppressive constructs that we have been dealing with. This is not a new thing just going on in Mississippi or a new thing in 2023, 21st century. When the Negro was brought into being from the robbery of Africa, of its peoples, and brought over here and having them through a process, having that African knowledge, language, foundation, background emptied out of them in what's called, now they're trying to diminish the idea of slavery. But chattel slavery had never been seen in the history of man until it was introduced on the shores of what's called America today. And the Negro, the nigger, the colored, the black man came out of that experience. And since that time up to this very day on November the 9th, we have been going through a series of social instability, so much so that the dysfunction has shown up and is still with us in terms of the vital areas of human life. We're still dealing with that. And without the realization of that, we are wondering, well, why can't we? You know, you hear this cry. Why can't we get ourselves together? Why can't we organize? Why can't we do business? Well, in my opinion, that's the answer. You know, and I'm not going to recount the history, because you can Google that like I Googled it, Patrick, Baba.
Yes, sir.
I Googled a few months ago. It's recent. I Googled a few months ago. White people, white man, and it has a very recent origin, you know, 1670 something, you know, and it was a strategic change within the context. Now, this was shared by another colleague, and I was planning on looking up before I came on air, the Balfour Rebellion, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it was an occasion when poor whites and poor blacks, slaves, came together, and they were resisting the plantation leadership. I believe it was in Virginia, but you know we all can Google that. I plan to Google it after the show, but I've got you on as my guest to share with us the work, some of the work, because I don't believe we necessarily need to be specific, because I had I was working in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and we were staying with a lady who took in boarders. And she said, the black man tell the white man everything. Y'all tell the white man everything. I'll never forget that. So tell us about what you're doing, but we don't need too much specifics.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Baba Hameen. Well, you know, I do understand the Queen Mother and want to, you know, not reveal, you know, everything that we plan that we are doing, you know. But to be specific to our agenda here in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Our agenda, Baba Hameen, is to organize black people in this state. You know, being that this state is densely populated with Africans. And as I was listening to you talk, I just began to configure in my mind some things that I was taught. You know, you said that this thing began basically when we were dragged off the shores of Africa, and we began this this fusion that white supremacy has brought our people to, even up until this day, 2023, November the 9th, 2023. And we can still see, you know, the heads of black people spinning, not really knowing our direction. But it's two things that reflected in my mind as you were saying that was taught by two of my greatest teachers. One by Minister Louis Farrakhan. When he came to Tula, Mississippi, and I was a younger man about 20 years ago, I made the sojourn to Tula, Mississippi, and I got a chance to greet the minister to his face. And when he gave his presentation, he said a thing that stuck with me. He said that out of oppression, change comes. He said that out of the most oppression comes the most change. He said that the black man in Mississippi, and I add throughout the South, particularly Mississippi, has suffered more than any black man in America. He said, I'm looking for something very special to come out of Mississippi. So,
yes, I agree with that.
Yes, sir. And in saying that, I also add to that the teachings of Professor Barbara Jane Small, who came to Mississippi to our second annual Black Liberation Movement Building Power Summit in 2018. And he told me, he said that the black man in Mississippi has retained his Africanness more so than any black man in America. Mm. He said that the ecosystem of Mississippi has preserved this black man in Mississippi. The circumstance, the fire that we are forced in here in Mississippi, the furnace, kind of like them Hebrew boys that we read about in the Bible when we were coming up in school, that would burn in the fiery furnace, but they were never consumed by the fire.
Yeah.
Kind of what you got left here in Mississippi, Bob. And the Black Liberation Movement, the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, Red, Black, and Greenville, Mississippi on the Move, have been forced out of this fire that had been created. And so you got a very interesting set of circumstances here in Mississippi and the grassroots leadership here in Mississippi that's emerging. And I do say emerging, but we are continuation of some things that, you know, black people seen a long time ago. You talking about people like the Kwame Ture that have sojourned here, you know, in the South. The ones that were inborn here in Mississippi, the Fannie Lou Hamers, the Ida B. Wells, the ones that are not so popular but most definitely made an imprint on this state, the Amzie Moores, the E.W. Steptoes, the Alfred Skip Robinson, the Mega Evers, and all of these people who have fought in this state, because we consider this state our state. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight. You know, if you allow me, it's the aftermath of all this political mumbo-jumbo that's been taking place in Mississippi and the confusion, in the state of confusion that we find ourselves in, but also a state of direction that we'll be going.
Yeah.
So, you know, we operate Mississippi on the Move, and it's designed to reignite the black man in Mississippi and throughout the South.
Yes, sir. So if you will, just share some of that with us, you know, in terms of the most recent efforts. And I shared with you off air that my soul tells me, and from my readings of classical scripture, that numbers are not the issue. Commitment is the issue.
That's
right. Those committed forces of humanity, those committed forces of black people, will win through in the end. I believe that, and I believe there's a history and even scriptural reinforcement of that kind of thinking.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob, because you spot on and you're right about what it is that you're saying. You know, out of this not predominantly black state, we think it's about 50-50. They saying about 35%, close to 40% black. But we know better than that.
That's
because
right.
We know Pookie Ray Ray now are not responding to the census, just like they're not responding to the election polls.
Yes.
But out of this great vastness of blackness, we want to draw what we call the critical mass, you know.
Mm.
And the critical mass is not the masses, but it's that withdrawn from the masses that's critical enough to create a perpetual momentum forward. So our desire is to go throughout this state, comb the state, sweep the state, and find that critical mass of black people who have retained that Africanness, you know, and that understand the political push for black power and to implement black power, you know, in the face of what we have been suffering from, which is the white overt power here in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
I want to quote something for people that's listening for them to better understand, you know, the social dynamic here in Mississippi. And it kind of weighs heavy when you drop, you know, some of these white people's ideologies about things on black people, because white people have become our standard. They're not my standard, but they have become the masses of our people's standard. So I want to quote William Faulkner. William Faulkner is a great white writer from the state of Mississippi, world-renowned writer.
Mm.
And he wrote, Baba Hameen, he said that if you want to know how the world works, he said, first understand how Mississippi works. I'm going to say that again for the listening audience. William Faulkner, the great white writer from Mississippi, said that if you want to understand how the world works, first understand how Mississippi works. Now, when I first heard that, I was like, wow, that's very interesting. What exactly do he mean by that?
Yeah.
You know? And I thought about white supremacy. And I thought about the overtness of white supremacy here in Mississippi, how overt it had been, you know, how overt the racism had been, you know, from Emmett Till on up to recent occurrences that we've been dealing with, you know, as recent as this year, phone calls that I got today, the killing of black people right here in the state of Mississippi, the overtness and the audacity of white supremacy. You know, so William Faulkner was, to me, he was reinforcing some of white supremacy. How it works, in the unapologetic push and determination of white supremacy. I call it the audacity of white supremacy. To function in a way that it functions in Mississippi. And it basically becomes a litmus test of the, I used to hear Elijah Muhammad talk. He said, you cannot fathom the evil of Satan. So it becomes that barometer for me, and also it becomes the barometer of what black people, African people have been able to withstand, you know, here in Mississippi. So, you know, all of that feeds into me, Bobby, and it orchestrates my steps. It orchestrates those around me, and I draw from my spirit every day, Bobby, to keep this fight, to keep this spirit alive, because our leaders are not going to be crafted from the institutions of America. I have concluded that we're not going to have leaders here in Mississippi to fight this type of social order, this white supremacy social order. They're not going to come from the institution that America had built. It's going to have to come from the spirit of black people, the grassroots movement of black people. And I like what you told me the other day as I was riding on the highway, Bobby. You said we got to, you know, we got to identify with each other. We got to love each other. We got to go back to some things like Baba, Professor James Small taught me. He said we have to remember what we already know. And I think that this world and white supremacy has been successful in confusing black people. And that's what Neely Fuller Jr. said so well, is that we are confused. White supremacy have a lot of black people confused. And as I matriculate through this state, I see a lot of confused black people, Bob. I see a lot of black people that got black very low on the totem pole of their priority list. You know,
absolutely.
They Baptist, Methodist, they Republican, Democrat, they Alpha Psi Phi, whatever, Divine Nine or whatever, and black way down there on the totem pole. It's way down there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, you know, we got to get our priorities right, Baba. That's what I'm saying. So that's what Mississippi on the Move is all about. It's about organizing in probably the least likely place that we would be expected to organize and becoming a shining beacon and an example of black excellence, you know, right here in the South.
Well, I don't think the real social manipulators are underestimating. You know, it's like you know, how the enemy, in fact, in recent history, 20th century history, the members of the power structure, governmental structure, were looking for a black messiah. So I don't think that they're completely unaware that something is going to happen. And like the Bible story, you know, can any good come out of Nazareth? I think it was Nazareth,
sir.
The idea of the least likely place, you know, can any good come out of it? And the answer for the wise is, by God, yes.
Yes, indeed, most certainly.
Because just like it's happened in the past, it's going to happen again. You know, there are certain clues that Mother Nature gives us, their patterns. You know, their principles, you know, there's a logic in nature. And so, you know, I may get down from time to time, but I know that the victory is near when you see, what is that saying, the house divided cannot stand?
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You know, it's not like people have not known about what was going on in Palestine and Israel. It's not like people haven't known that. And many of I'm going to say, you know, because of individuals that I've met from that area, you know, they come over here and they identify with whiteness, you know. Many of them, you know, that are able to get over here. But what I'm seeing is a movement. We saw it when they were throwing rocks at the at the Israeli occupiers, and then it changed when they got these little guns, and the guns, the guns came from the same people that were oppressing them, really, by and large. Weaponry is something that the state of Israel designed. The state of Israel, they know about weaponry, but there's a movement in terms of what is just, that innocent people who had nothing to do with the political and military moves of this group called Hamas, that they're being overwhelmingly and brutally murdered. And this strikes a chord in the consciousness of the world. And I was reading something just the other day about how the human soul is not just confined to the physical body. The human soul reaches outside of the human body. And there's certain ideas that have caused, a kind of atrophy in the social awareness of European people, and I attribute it to their background and the nature of lack of resources and so forth, sunlight, the climate and all of that kind of stuff have developed a certain kind of temperament in European people. And also this idea that you hear them expressing that there's not enough, lacking, that there's not enough for everybody, that comes out of that history and that development, And by contrast, African people, we come from a wealthy, not just in material resources, but the climate, the sunshine, the wildlife, all speaks to abundance,
Baba Hameen.
Go ahead.
Can I stop you right there and kind of validate
Please.
What it is that you're saying,
Please.
And it may, shed a lot more light to the people.
Please.
When you're talking about that, it reminds me of Abercrombie. So you're talking about this white, I think you say apathy or something like that. But Abercrombie Jr., are you familiar with Abercrombie Jr.?
How do you spell that last name? I'm not hearing you.
Abercrombie, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Detroit, Black.
Oh,
National
yes, yes, sir.
Pastor,
yeah.
Abercrombie.
Yes, yes, sir.
I go back and I have done a small study on Abercrombie, and I'm going to do a greater one to help substantiate myself moving forward.
Yes.
But Abercrombie made a great reference to white people and their thirst for domination, and he couched it in a great narrative, historical, factual narrative. He said this. He said that at one point in time in the world, he said the white man could get on a boat and leave Europe, and everywhere that he went in the world was better than the place he left.
Yes.
He said, and at the same time, the black man in Africa could get on a boat and go anywhere in the world, and everywhere in the world that he went was not better than the place he left. So if people could understand that, if they could understand the depravity that white people were incubated out of, then they probably could better understand the sociopathic mind of the white man. And and when you bring that all the way up to now, and we talking about Israel and Palestine, and it's very interesting, Baba. I'm not the social scientist or whatever, but I do the best that I can. I try and relate to my people from our perspective and what we need to know. It's interesting how the media works, and I think people should know how the media works. Malcolm said that the media is the most powerful weapon of white supremacy. It can make the evil seem like the victim, and the victim seem like the evil doer. If we understood that, we would better understand what's taking place and how we've been manipulated in this Israel and what the media say, Hamas. I think that's very interesting. Israel versus Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Not Israel versus Palestine, but Israel versus Hamas. I think that's very, very interesting that they would take and pit this little country that they have developed. I'm talking about, when I say they, I mean the United States of America, to put all the resources, the weaponry, the power behind this little whatever it's supposed to be, you know, and they pit it against what essentially is what they call a terrorist group, you know, and that's what they do with these wars that they propagandize to the American people. It's not the United States versus Iraq. It's the United States versus Al-Qaeda. You see what I'm saying? The fighting force of these poor people. See, that's what I'm saying. The fighting force of these poor people, you know, in America's continued attempted assault on the world and world domination and the control of resources. And when we boil all the fat off of it, as they say back here in Mississippi, when we boil all the fat off of it, that's essentially what it is. It's America staking its claim in the Middle East or North Africa and controlling the circumstances and the resources in that area through what we have today. So it's a lot behind that, Bob, and our people need to come to better know it. But if we come to better know the white man and his mindset, then we'll come to better know why we're still struggling here in Mississippi and throughout the South and throughout America. It's the same white man, the same white man.
Yeah. On that point, we're going to take a break. We've kind of delayed it quite a bit, but at this time we're going to take a break for public service announcements, and we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Our guest is Baba, or leader of Patrick Lumumba, Baba Lumumba, and he's from the Mississippi Black Liberation Movement and the Elmer Jerome Pratt Gun Club. We'll be back after these messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Information is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspirations. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life. because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Our guest is Baba, leader of Patrick Lumumba, and he is the chief organizing facilitator of Mississippi Black Liberation Movement and the Elmer Jerome Pratt Sun Club. And Baba, you were sharing some things with us in terms of the insight. And as you were speaking, I'm thinking, well, Mississippi represents a picture, an intensified picture of what is going on in America and throughout the world. And oftentimes, you know, you have among us everyday folks, we get off into the personalities and the individuals, you know, people. Mm-hmm. But it's much bigger than people. It's a mindset that has been mm-hmm. going on. And I have a friend, Brother Clarence Muhammad, member of the Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, and he shared mm-hmm. a book with me. We had a conversation about something that was written in the book, Message to the Black Man, and it was a quote that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made from a delegate in the Virginia House of Legislature. His name is Barry. Last name is Berry. Can't think of his first name right now. But the comment, the quote was that this slave owner was saying that we've done everything within our power to keep the light from the blacks, from the slave. Okay. But this particular, I had copies of the Message to the Black Man for years, but this particular time within the last year, I decided to research this guy, Henry Barry, and his speech. And the context mm-hmm. of the speech came out of Nat Turner's rebellion and the killing of white folks the year before. And this guy, his name is Henry Barry, legislator Henry Barry. He mm-hmm. he was a slave owner, but he was in a debate that following year after Nat Turner's uprising. He was in a debate to get rid of slavery, and he was on the side of getting rid of slavery, even though he's a slave mm-hmm. owner, to find a way what? To do this, because this stuff is going to come back on us. And lastly, I came across a quote from Thomas Jefferson dealing with the God of justice. Do you think that we don't have to worry about the God of justice bringing retribution on us? I'm paraphrasing his thinking. And if there was an uprising, do you think the God of justice would be on our side? I said, my God. Yeah. They were aware. Mm-hmm. You know, the wise among them were aware. And I have to say, there were certain individuals among the Europeans that had a greater social consciousness, and I would say a greater developed humanity than the majority of them. And they were kind of put in check and kept in their place with tarring and feathering and having their properties taken for wanting to show decency to the blacks, who wanted to show a common right. humanity behavior. They were few and maybe far in between, but they were there in the history that we see in our rearview mirror. And that lets me know this thing ain't gonna turn out like a lot of folks think. So what you're doing, I want to respect your time. I know the top of the hours. I know you had some difficulties, and let me say this. You know, we're on a platform that don't belong to us. Okay, we don't own this platform.
Yes,
and these phones that we have, we think we own them. But, you know, these phones can be cut off at any time, you know. Or we can have problems with these phones at any time. Because these phones don't really, you know, we don't have the infrastructure that run these phones and these other things that we're dependent on. So
there are going to be
individuals that want to filter our conversation. But
yes, sir.
I've shared with you that the Creator has shown us in other people, particularly these more recent members of American society, the Latinos, you know, that they're showing us something that we attempted to hold on to, but many of us have lost this underlying what they call it, ethos, this love for one another and the connection with one another. And that's the foundation of any group of people being a group of people. And we've got to have that, or we won't have anything, in my opinion. You know, we've got to come to where, and it doesn't take everybody. If we just have a small band of folk that have that love for one another and have that concern, you know, for accepting responsibility for ourselves, you know, we'll be successful.
Yes, sir.
God willing. But again, let me know when you have to go. I want to engage you and have you share with us as much as possible. You were sharing with me that is it Dr. Smalls? Dr. Smalls had an impression on you in terms of you're not being so staunch and rigid in your perception of what we were dealing with, what you were dealing with there in Mississippi. And would you share that with us?
Yes, sir, because we are at the top of the hour, and I've instructed others to go ahead on and start the show that we scheduled to be on. So I'm going to do about 10 more minutes here with you, Baba Hamid, if it's okay with you. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no doubt. But I never script anything to say, Bob. You know, I always struggle with that. I never script anything to say. And I think that congests when people script things to say. I think that kind of congests the natural spirited process. So I listen to you, and I ad lib from what you said. And what you just were talking about with the technology is something that I have determined about the technology, and those around me have basically confirm as well. See, we think that technology is advancing us, and technology is really not advancing us. It's controlling us. That's really what it is. It's controlling us. Technology is convenient, and now we can't do simple things like spell a word. I mean, I challenge people all the time, just pull a pad and a pencil out and start trying to write again. And they struggle to do it, you know, because we have allowed this technology that we think is advancing us is really controlling us. And these smartphones are smarter than us now. You know, the smartphones for dumb people, you know. So, you know, I just wanted to say that. But, you know, just talking, you know, to the greatness of James Small and the time that, you know, I spent with him here, it was so profound. His teachings were so profound. It was so clear. The calm and assertive nature of his teaching was so clear to me. And he just expounded on a lot of things, just us in understanding consciousness, because I was having trouble with people who were so spiritual, but they were powerless. And he made me understand that your spirituality is your reality, because I was having problems with people who were spiritual, but they were non-practical. So everything was spiritual, but it never manifested into a power source that we can show progressive and tangible progress as African people here in the continent of North America. So he taught me that consciousness was not just the acquisition of information and knowledge, because that's what we had taken consciousness to be, is knowledge,
yeah,
information. Consciousness, in its essence, is the recollection of your history and your culture. That's what being woke is all about, is remembering,
yes,
who you are, where you are, what you are, when you are, how you are.
Yes.
So that consciousness that we are mistaken, not that it's not knowledge and information, but it's knowledge and information informing you of what? It's informing you of what America has done to you, has put you to sleep, and reconnecting with who you are, remembering what we already know, becoming that people that Mr. Barry was talking about. We had to shut that light off. See, what is that light? They can't be reminded of who they are. And we have actual process that's taking place now. Well, white supremacist social order is still doing it. I mean, what is CRT? What is that? What is the political cutoff of the educational process of educating black folks about our history and deeming that something that we don't teach? What is that? Ain't that the light? Ain't that the introduction to that light that we need? We need to be able to recall,
yes,
our history. I know people, Baba Habib, that don't know their great-great-grandfather.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you understand?
Sir. I don't.
So that's the thing, Baba Habib. And I hate that our conversation tonight had to be abbreviated. But, you know, I charge myself with not picking up these cellular devices and making more contact with you. You know, I hope that you would bring me on, you know, more, you know, so that we can stay in contact. But I would charge myself with just picking the phone up and calling my boss and talking with you, man, because you do something for my spirit. You put me in a very calm place, and I'm in a very, very chaotic place with the battle that I fight here, you know. And
I understand.
We take these things head on. But I appreciate you, Bob, and I thank you for having me on.
I want you to know that, you know, I get mutual benefit from you, your commitment, your love for our people, your commitment to finding ways to bring about justice, your commitment to trying to awaken our people to the realities that are not just formed in Mississippi, but throughout the country and the world. And I pray,
sir.
You're in my prayers. And I brought you on to inspire the listeners, those who are presently on the phone, and, you know, they didn't press one to make any questions or bring any comments, but they've been with us up to this point, and we thank them for joining us.
Yes,
and
sir.
I thank you for joining us. I'm looking forward to having you back next month, man. If you,
yes, sir.
You,
I'm looking forward to being back.
I'll call you. Thank
yes,
you
sir.
So much.
I'll be waiting on you, Bob. Power
right.
And peace, Bob. Thank
peace
you.
Peace be with you.
Yes.
Thank you. And that was your audience. That was leader Patrick Lumumba, chief organizing facilitator of Mississippi Black Liberation Movement and the Elmer Jerome Pratt Gun Club. And much like the spirit of Imam Muhammad joining an alliance, so to speak, with the Focolare group, my spirit just told me that my audience needs to hear from Patrick Lumumba in terms of dealing with an oppressive environment in Mississippi, and his courageous stand to where the rubber meets the road, address these issues head on, and seek to unify the African American community in Mississippi. There are people that are they're Christians that have their sincere leadership to free ourselves. There are members of the Muslim community that are seeking to do the same. And then there are those who are outside of the religious community that are seeking to bring about change for the better. And they have their own leadership. And from time to time, I look for their voices. And Patrick Lumumba has been one that's been on the show program before. And to hear his voice, his commitment, what his interests are. And he has made some changes in the way that he's seeing how this work needs to be accomplished. And I see him evolving in his leadership, people of Mississippi. And I wanted the audience to be a part of hearing that voice that he presents to us, what he represents. So praise be to Allah. The mic is open. We still have another 20 minutes or so before the sign-off time of 9:30 Eastern, and we welcome you to make your comment. Brother Imam, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Well, I am Kareem Hamid, calling in from St. Louis, Missouri, and I definitely enjoyed your guest, Brother Lumumba. I have heard him before on your broadcasting. He makes a lot of sense. He loves our people. And
yes,
he shares the same concerns that we do, that we must build a life for ourselves. We cannot just continue to just be floating and not have a life, a community for ourselves. I was talking with my daughter this morning, she and I was talking. I text her every morning after a medical test that I take, and I send the results to her. And
okay.
So thank God she's off for a month now from work. She has a month leave. And
okay.
She called me. She said, yeah, Daddy, you know, I wanted to call you and speak with you. We always texting. I said, yep, I share that same concern, but usually you are on your phone working, you know. You are on your phone and computer or working, so that keeps us from calling and talking to each other. We got on the subject matter of how cold people are now, emotionless people are now, how they can see horrendous things happen, and it don't faze them. And we spoke of social media and how the use of social media and all of these sites that we have, they have games on there, games that highlight war. And they compete with each other, not even in the same house or whatever. They're just online doing that. And the idea is to kill as many enemies as you can. And this becomes an ego trip. And so what this has done is it has removed the emotional nature. You know, it's just, I won. There's no real caring anymore. The human being has been desensitized. We hear of murders in the areas that we live in. And, you know, it's just a blip on the screen. But when I was a young man and young boy, we never passed by dead bodies going to school. We never heard of, well, yeah, so-and-so got killed last night or over on the next block. If something like that had happened, that we would have been traumatized, the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
But now it's just passé. It's just something, well, that, you know. And so with that loss of sensitivity, there's an apathy that sets in.
Yes, sir.
Even an apathy for each other. An apathy for each other. You know, I know how the Emmett Till murder, how that affected us. That affected us, that we were in deep mourning.
Yes, sir.
But now the human being has been desensitized and it's reached a point whereby as a group, there are too many of us that are in a state of apathy, just don't care, don't feel. You know, Imam Muhammad, I hear a lot of people say, well, don't bring up the past. Oh, there you go. You are living in a past. But the past is living in us. And we've lost a concern for each other. We've lost a concern for each other. It's been skillfully done. But
yeah.
Praise God, like you mentioned to our brother, that there's always a small group
that
holds on to their original nature, and they move forward. So I'm glad to have heard from him. I count him as one of those that loves
us.
You can hear it. You can feel it. You can feel it.
Yes, sir.
Coming from him. Our souls register. And so that's why he's very serious about establishing a life for ourselves. And I hope that you do bring him on. He mentioned in one lecture, he said, look, this government has a bomb, a nuclear bomb. This government has a bomb. They can detonate that bomb. It sucks all the oxygen out of buildings, and it killed the occupants of those buildings. The building is yet standing.
That's right.
And the conqueror comes and takes over the material wealth.
Yes.
He said, that is what is happening to us, dear people. We are being nuked. There's a framework there. There's a shell there. But all the content have been sucked out of it.
Yeah.
So praise be to
Allah.
Thank
you.
Yes, sir. I'll stop right there. But I truly enjoyed this talk.
Well, press one when you go out. Alaykum as-salam, Imam. Press one. We've got another caller. I'm so grateful that caller that you're joining us. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome.
Yes, I called in really as a. There's a lot that's been going on my phone today. First of all, I had a virus, so I was on the line with the people, the internet, my internet provider, for part of the day, and they say I got a virus, and they're gonna, get it on the technician and all of that. You know, so much going on. But what I wanted to do is call in and say Imam Kareem, it's ironic that he mentioned, you know, how desensitized people are these days, because that was on my mind. That was thoughts as well. And what I was going to mention is that, you know, we have people, religious people, I'll just say, you know, people that say they have a faith, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't, how can I say, they don't really, everybody's focused on their issues as far as either they don't want to deal with anything because there's so much going on, or they're bogged down with their own personal problems. You know, there's a lot of apathy among people nowadays. You know, it's more, there's not the concern for the neighborly needs unless I know you. I have to know you, or you're in my circle or whatever, you know, in my group or in my clique or whatever, you know. And then the other thing is, there's so much among believers, you know, the Muslims themselves. We got a lot of social ills in our community ourselves, and what I've observed is that there's some that are responding, but then there's a lot of people that are just tuning out, you know, to certain things. Like I observe, because, you know, I've always been active in the community. I'm still around the youth and the seasoned, the elders, so I noticed, you know, among the men and the women believers, you know, it's everybody's, you know, it's almost like a fog is over, you know, it's just, whatever, and some just go along, you know, whatever is going on, they just go along, and a lot of people are sick. We got to deal with our health. We got to deal with our health in a better way. We fallen victim to our health, not taking care of our health the way we should. And that's not our tradition. We have a history of healers, and you look into the history of Muslims. You know, we weren't we were healthy people. You know, we ate healthy diet. We had spring in our step. You know, all of that. We were active and. We were a little bit more involved than we are now. Some people are trying, but it's like, wow.
There was a wisdom of doing for self, because because, you know, the medical services and so forth were not open to us, so we had to take the steps that they tell us now, you know, that we preventive medicine. You know, we had these special jars of medicinals that we take us. You know, what was that thing that a lot of us took? I never took it, but a certain
one
of
them
of,
was
the
cod liver oil and all these.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking. Yeah, but there were others. You know, in fact, I was told by friends,
sure,
you know,
was.
That there was a special jar, you know, that when a certain this time of year came around, They had to
get, it wasn't cod liver oil,
but it was a medicinal tincture or a medicinal remedy of protection, you know, the strengthening of the immune system. And, you know, what you're talking about is not accidental. There's a book, and the person who wrote it is a journalist, but he has a book entitled Stolen Focus, and it speaks about how our consciousness is being robbed. We can't think straight because we're being bombarded. And recently I've come to an awareness that the body produces certain chemicals as a protection, but when social manipulators utilize fear, you know, the creating an environment of fear and stress with the type of news that they present to us, then that produces this cortisol at a continuing rate. It doesn't just come up. Cortisol is a fight or flight medication that takes the blood flow from the brain and from the immune system in the gut, and it sends that blood to the extremities to either fight or resist or to run away. And, you know, these social manipulators, they know about how our human makeup is. And so they're flooding the environment with stressful information. And,
this is what I was getting to. Yes.
Yes,
That's exactly what I was segueing into. Yes, sir.
So it's no accident that people are, you know, because it's not just fight or flight. There's also another factor called freeze. People get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to move forward or backwards, you know, because they're just stuck because of the effect of the environmental influences on their soul, on their spirit.
And not only that, we have, and I think I'm so happy that I'm one that I go to alternative media. I've been an alternative media for a long time, alternative independent for my health information, for my news and information, because what we realize, you know, those that kind of keep up with what's going on is that mainstream media has been censored for years, long time ago. There's been books that have been written about it.
Sister Amina.
So we can't get our news. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, but I want you to press one and go out. We've got a couple of more callers on the line that have been waiting for some time. I want to bring them on.
All right.
I'll bring you back.
Yes, I'll just say this, symptometry, okay, and I'll come back. Salamu alaikum.
Okay, thank you, and do come back. Alaikum assalam. 312, thank you for your patience. State your name and where you're calling from.
We on Yah Shalom, Ahura. We don't die, we multiply. Black power forever and assalamu alaikum. Shalom. This is Minister Plum. Robert Plunk,
Chicago,
Illinois. Brother Kareem.
Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to God. Yes, sir. This is Michael Hameen. I'm glad you're joining us. What do you got for us this evening?
Well, thank you so much for asking, beloved. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. And most indeed, I am happy. I am happy that I am an entrepreneur exclusively, born to help all brothers and sisters do for self and help our own kind and share the wealth. You know, the wealth is generational, see, and that's a positive, progressive, professional way. And we here in Chicago Mayor Washington did, nobody but Harold said, we must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up.
I like
praise
that.
Praise the Lord. Allah Akbar. Yes, sir. Allah is the greatest. We are plumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people. And we are going to market you and all the other brothers and sisters and the ones that's in Chicago. Even if you're not in Chicago, we want to make you welcome. We're going to have Sister Lolita. Sister Lolita, she's going to be giving away, it's like first come, first serve, her peach carver. And we call her peach carver. Is part of the greatest and the latest diet food that's all about our health. Our health is our wealth. You know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I heard in the conversation, see, our people have been bamboozled. They, as Malcolm would say, you know, our people have been, you know, misled. And misused and abused, you know, in a large portion of our life. And for all the brothers that really and sisters that might be interested in expanding their entrepreneurship relationship, and we are doing it locally, nationally, and internationally with an opportunity unlimited. Unstoppable to share success, because if it was not for Allahu Akbar and success breeds success, I wouldn't even come on the line. It was, you know, I had listened to Brother Kareem. He always said he would be coming on in the evening, and I never did connect. So this is a historical moment, a historical day, and the best is yet to come. Because we have organized Team 23, and I appreciate you asking. Team 23 in Akron is together everyone achieves more. Together everyone achieves much. Together everyone achieves money. Together everyone achieves millions. Together everyone achieves miracles. And you know I don't create no miracles, but I'm so glad that I'm one of the miracles in this
day
that Allah has created. And for more information, brothers and sisters can reach me at 312-882-5935 in Chicago, Illinois. We at the Lake Grove Village apartments.
Thank you,
and that's at 3515 South Cottage Grove. And that's every
Thank you,
Sunday.
Pat.
Our next meeting is going to be this Sunday, okay? From 2:30
right.
to 4:30. So everybody in Chicago, come on out and get some of that sweet, you know, peach cobbler. First come, first serve.
Right.
If it run out now, you'll be late for the meeting.
thank you so much.
Thank
you.
All right.
Appreciate you.
You
God
said you're who's?
I'm Michael Hameen. This program is called Not Just Talk. Yes, sir. And I remember you from Imam Kareem's men's edition of on the program Sister
the Female Solution. Sister Naeem.
Female Solution. Yes, that's right.
Right.
So
yeah,
thank
well,
you.
I'm one of the
thank
men
you.
On a mission, and I'm just happy. What time is you all scheduled on your program now?
It's 7 o'clock your time, Central.
Okay.
8 o'clock Eastern every Thursday night.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
I'm
gonna be tuning in, and I'm gonna thank you for taking my call. Inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. And 914, if you'll press 1 again, we'll bring you in. We still have time. We have some grace time that we can utilize, and I appreciate you checking in with us. Pastor, please press 1 to go out of the queue, and 914, if you'll press 1 again, that'll bring you up to the top of the queue. And there you are, and welcome. state your name and where you're calling from for the audience. Welcome.
Yeah, it's Muhammad Sharif, Michael Call from Alvaro, New York.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam. Yeah, I just want to make it known, pop off the subject. I don't know what subject is tonight. I got on about 15 minutes ago. Have you all got the books? By
what book? What book?
Mother of Our Nation? Mother of the Nation?
Oh, no. Is this by Sister Muhammad?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, they have a number of places. I think Amira in Chicago is one of the distributors. Brother Wally, he's in Durham, North Carolina. I think he's one of the distributors.
Okay.
I believe Imam Qasim Ahmed's winner. They have a program on the Arabic. I can't think right now.
I know what you're talking about.
She's one of the distributors of the book too. As a matter of fact, you can't get it in each place. You can also get it on Amazon. If I was telling someone about the book too, he said, "Oh yeah, I got book one some time ago." He said, "I got it right at Amazon."
Yeah,
so he won next day. He got it on Amazon also. So there are a number of distributors.
Okay, I know I have the verse book, but I remember you on another occasion sharing with us that the book on Sister Claire, the second part, was out. And I appreciate you calling to remind us of it, and that it is available from a number of sources beyond Amazon. And, you know, for convenience, we may use that, but, you know, if we can get it from other sources who need to be supported, that we should welcome that as well. And I appreciate what you're sharing. And I play your ad every time I'm on the air and have the engineering control because of your support for what AM360 is about and what Community Watch Hero is about. And we appreciate you. And you are kind of like in the vanguard of those who recognize the need for us to support this media outlet and also the organizational work of Community Watch Shura Conference. I really appreciate you, bro, work that you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate you for praying. I heard you praying a couple of times, and I have a tablet on your program. I really appreciate that, brother Michael.
Well, if you come in earlier, you would have heard it. We had a guest. He came in late. So we kind of started off with an open mic, and nobody pressed one. So I read some information from Imam Muhammad, a lecture. Well, it was really a number of lectures with the focus on leadership after he passes, after Imam spoke on a number of occasions on the leadership after he physically passes from this earth. And so I was reading some of that, and I may just close out with that, you know. We played your advertisement, and we had an interesting dialogue with the brother who is out of Mississippi, Patrick Lumumba of the Mississippi Black Liberation Movement. And I really appreciate him. He was having trouble with his phone and connecting with our platform. And I made the comment before he left the audience, he had another engagement, that, you know, these platforms are not under our control. These phones that we think are ours, you know, we don't own the infrastructure. So, you know, we're dependent on other folks for our communication, you know, our use of communication instruments, we're dependent on others. So we should use them wisely, because we don't know when these things are going to be cut off.
Yeah, you're correct there. Now, if I could hear someone say on one of the Block Talk Radio this morning, I think it's, was it Sister Aisha or the Muslim Journal editor? I think she was saying, because you're speaking about the supporting the Muslim Journal. She said, and then we also have it online now. I think she said, but we can't depend on that. We need the brothers out there or somebody out there with the physical paper, the paper itself, because I think she named someone. She is that putting this click a switch, and we all completely. We are in a terrible position here. Somebody just flipped the switch and we're out of communications.
Yeah, well, it's important. And I remember Imam Muhammad sharing, and it was interesting, the Jummah that he shared this in was one of the shortest Jummahs that I had ever participated in or heard of. The Jummah was 16 minutes long because we recorded it. But the Imam told us that the things that we need to keep alive. Somebody amongst us needs to keep alive the things that we need. Keep that in their heart and in their mind and even on their tongue. You know, we need, you know, whatever it is that we need, we should pray to Allah and then we should go get it. But before we get it, we need to hold on to the idea of Muslims educating us, educating ourselves and educating our people. You know, we hear this complaint about here in Florida, you know, the proper history of black people not being given. Well, there's nothing to stop us from giving it to one another. You know, we've got churches, we've got masjids, we've got libraries that you can get for free. You can get spaces in these libraries, because I've done it. You can get spaces in the library where you can have meetings, you know. But we're not kept away from sharing knowledge with one another. We just have to up and do it. And Muhammad, we've got about another 5 minutes, and I'm going to bring Sister Amina back in. That's all right.
All right. Thank you. Oh yeah, wonderful.
Thank you
so much. Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Assalamualaikum.
Sister Amina, you've got the last
assalamu
word.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yes, I
in.
Just wanted to mention two things that recently affected this community here in a big way. There was a terrible, tragic accident on the highway here, and there's many highways, 285 and I-20 involving Muslims, and it wiped out the whole family. The mother and the ex-husband were in the car, and they had five children, five babies. Well, the oldest son was 10 or about to be 10, they say. They sent me the text when it happened. Everybody started mass texting. This happened last week. So, I mean, subhanAllah. And to me, that's a sign, and a lot of people have mentioned that at the janazah. They ended up having four janazahs because three of the children were instantly killed. A newborn baby, the baby was only a month old. Then there was two other younger children. And one, the son was on life support, but he returned to Allah the day before the janazah. He returned after all. And then the mother, I mean, the father, the ex-husband of the sister, he was driving, they say. You know, I don't know. I just know that many in the community know them. They're very loved in the community. Muhammad schools know them, you know, all of the tributes. But what was so touching is that we found out that the ex-husband, the father, he was some kind of stunt person. You know, he was into acting or you know, but he was in a good way. He had made Hajj. Yeah. They were showing his and the imam that got up there, Imam Dawood, that knows the family. You know, he was it got to him. He was mentioning that you know, the young man that was on life support. When everything stopped, his heart and everything was still beating, and he had that his body came forward with you know, one sign, you know, in the air, and then he just went back, you know, and that was so touching. But the other thing is that the mother survived, and the coroner was amazed. How did you? Because that was a bad accident, and you know,
yes, ma'am.
It just was like, wow. And you should have seen, I mean, it was so much of an outpouring. It was wall-to-wall people that came, across this region. You would have thought it was Juma or Eid or something. I mean, so many people came. Yeah. That was so touching. And then the go ahead. What were you going to say?
My friend Ahmed Jamal Ali, he shared with me. He was one of the hospitality people that comforted the family members, you know. And he was sharing with me some of what you're sharing. And we say
and a lot of non-Muslims came. What was so amazing? A lot of non-Muslims that apparently knew. The family that had been their first time coming in a masjid, they came out of respect, and you know, that was touching as well. That was touching. Good. I mean, it was no standing room only. You couldn't get in there. All the seats, the carpet on both sides in the lobby. I mean, it was just amazing that.
Sister Amina.
And then I want to say this, and I'll get off. Our 65th anniversary, this is a big weekend here.
Yes.
Big weekend here coming up this Saturday, November 11th, the 65th anniversary of the masjid being established in this in Atlanta. So it's a big gala planned. Beautiful.
Isn't that something that this tragic event happening before this celebration? And, you know, whenever we have loss, particularly loss of the innocent, it's very sobering.
Yes.
And it has a tendency to make us stop and think about life.
That's what
our
this
life.
Man was saying. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. We want to get out.
All right. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Living on the scene. Historic, had to give